Welcome to the official PHP BB podcast. Find us online at podcast.phpbb.com. Episode number 2. Welcome once again to the official phpbb.com podcast. I'm one of your regular hosts, Adam Ryer, also known as Adam R on the support team. With joining me tonight, I have Michael Cunningham, also known as Techie Michael, have Yuri Rusko, also known as Marshall Rusty, and David Lewis, also known as Highway Life. Let's go ahead and get started once again and let everyone introduce themselves, starting with Michael.
As he said, my name is Michael Cunningham, also known as Techie Michael. I am the former support team leader, now support team member. And go ahead and introduce yourself, Yuri.
Hi, I am Yuri Rusko, like Adam said, Marshall Rusty on the support team, and David.
Hi, I am David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life on the modifications team.
Okay, let's get started on the topics then. First topic we have is security and spam, discussing the difference and relationship between the two. We'll talk a little bit about AJAX and how mod authors can use AJAX as well as JavaScript in PHP BB 3. We also talk a little bit about our favorite features in Olympus. Talk a little bit about why I'm the former support team leader. And then I guess we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. So let's get started. Yuri, you and I discussed a while ago about how we don't consider spam to be security. Can you go ahead and explain a little bit why that is?
Sure. And as Michael said, we do not consider spam to be a security issue because spam bots or people who spam don't actually do anything that a regular user couldn't do. So they register, they post, but they don't break through the board defenses. They don't exploit any vulnerabilities in the script. So it's an annoyance, but it's far from a security issue.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever seen a true issue of spam being a security issue in PHP BB 2 or 3 for that matter. Yeah, like you said, they registered, they post. So if I were going onto your site, for example, and I registered as a spammerish name and had a spam website, location, whatever else I used, and I started posting spam topics, I'm just like any other user. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done anything illegal as far as breaking into a server or anything like that. I just posted. So that's why we don't consider spam to be security. Now, I understand completely that spam is an annoyance. It's sometimes very sickening, the things that they post. And it's sometimes, in fact, illegal, the things that they post. But as far as actually doing something malicious, no, they don't.
On the flip side, what would be considered security-related issues, things more like exploiting holes in the software, for example, taking over an administrator account or getting access to other users' passwords or various things of that nature, that can allow the user or the bot or the robot or whatever that is connected to the forum to do harmful things to both the board or even possibly the server that it's being on.
Just anything that would give user more permissions than what he is allowed. Right?
Yeah, privilege escalation is one of the problems. You also have things that we use, compromise files and modify files. So you run in the same permission set, so you don't escalate your permissions, but you can modify files and do other things that you wouldn't normally do. And that would be security related. That's definitely something that you need to be concerned about and we need to be concerned about. So on that flip side, where would spam be considered security related?
I think the only time it can be considered security related is when, for example, Not in the essence of, for example, a bot being able to get onto the forum and being able to post a message, but in the regard that, for example, they're phishing for information, users' information, various mm-hmm. things like that, where they're linking to scripts that could potentially cause a user to, you know, enter their username and password or something of that nature. Only then does it become a security issue. But again, that's not really an inherent issue in the PHBBB software, because any user could come in and do that themselves. So there's really no way to prevent that kind. I mean, there's measures that you could take to prevent spam, for example, you know, collaborative spam checking, various things of that nature. Spam keywords, spam, you know, usernames that are known to be spam, things like that. But there's really no foolproof way to prevent it, because any user could come in themselves and mm-hmm. post such links.
Yeah,
and you know, I've never actually seen that in with regards like to the incident team and the incident tracker.
Yeah.
Well, personally, at least, I have never seen anyone attack PHPBB just to post spam. I've seen vulnerabilities in cPanel exploited, other software on the server, and then they'll go ahead and they'll change all the index files to just links to another site, which would, I think, we can refer to as spamming, right? That would be the motivation. Mm-hmm. But never actually PHPBB. Never anything like that. So I don't think that's related. I don't think there is anything, any sort of relationship between spam and security when talking about PHPBB.
Okay. I'm going to digress for just a moment. Fall back on the experience as, you know, ironically enough, I used to work in a college environment and handle security. I've talked about it before on the board as well as with other people. But one of the incidents I have seen in that position is where we would get mail bombed, and then that would bring down the email server. And the mail bombings were from spammers because they didn't like me taking them down. And that's about the only thing I can think of where spam would be intermingled with security. It was basically a DOS attack, and that's, of course, security. But other than that, I don't think we can ever see – well, I don't want to say ever because, you know, things happen. But as far as PHBB is concerned, I don't think we see anything that's security and spam. So I hope that clears it up. And does somebody want to say something?
Yeah, in regards to like things like distributed or DDoS, which – for those of you who don't know, stands for distributed denial of service, which is basically a bunch of a computer or a series of computers opening up a bunch of connections simultaneously with the server and trying to cause the server to do various things at a time, causing a lot of strain on it, which ultimately causes it to go down. Mm-hmm.
Basically just flooding the server full of connections.
Essentially, yeah. So it gets overloaded, bottlenecked, or whatever, or even causes the server to physically, you know, have issues. But, again, it really doesn't have anything to do with the PHBBB software, because any server is inherently vulnerable to that. And that has to be prevented at the server level and not the software level.
Right. And there's products that people can get to mitigate at the network level, and you know, but eventually you're going to fall to a denial of service attack or distributed denial of service attack just because of the way they work. But again, that's not with PHBB or any software for that matter on that level.
But spammers, I mean, you mentioned you know, mail servers, and I assume that the reason why they actually wanted to take your server down, right? I mean, I assume that was the goal?
Yeah. In one case, I had taken down a spammer, reported them and followed up and got them shut down, and they retaliated by mail bombing. They sent tons and tons of emails, and that caused the mail server to choke a little bit. And then another time I saw someone had gotten infected with a virus at another location somewhere that didn't have to do with our college, but of course – you know, it was just a simple virus and just sent tons and tons and tons of emails until it brought our mail server to a screeching halt. And it took us probably the better part of 6 hours to get the mail server back up.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that with us.
Yeah.
That was an interesting day.
Well,
we all heard about it.
But with regards to PHPV, I don't think spammers will want to take your board down, because that would be counterproductive. The whole point is to leave the spam there as much, you know, for as long a period of time as possible. So I don't think that would be an issue. They wouldn't want to take down the site.
And to help users kind of understand why the spammers post there, is it more for the benefit of getting links back from search engines, or is it for users to actually click on and view those links?
Probably the first one more than the second one.
Yeah, but I like to say that there are as many reasons as there are people. Because it can be money, it can be fame, it can be getting into a spammer group, it can be any number of things. But from what I have seen in the past, my own experience is that spammers post the links to the pump and dump, which is stocks, to getting you to buy, you know, drugs, we'll leave it at that, to buying Rolex watches, to whatever. And in the end, they get some money. And that's my experience.
Right. I think, like Nicole said, there are many reasons I think any of those will apply. But I would say that just sometimes it doesn't seem like they even try to make it appealing to people when they actually put it in a post. Sometimes they'll put HTML in, which of course won't parse properly in a post in PHPV, or it'll be broken BB code, things that it won't show up in an appealing way. And even if you wanted to click one of the links, you wouldn't really, you would have to try to work to find, you know, which of the links it is. But of course, a search engine bot, I should say, only looks for the links in the page source. And of course, it doesn't matter whether it has a BB code, it will find the links just as well. So, I mean, I would say that the majority of them just want to raise themselves up on a search engine. But of course, I mean, if you click it, you know, just the more business for them.
A lot of search engines have also gotten better about detecting spam links and things of that nature. So, I mean, I know Google has done a lot to try to mitigate the amount of spam links that have appeared in the search engines, and so far they've done a fairly good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, on the issue of security, I had a client contact me over this last weekend and say that their host had shut them down because the PHPBB3 forum software that they're running on the board, which is RC3, was vulnerable to hackers and making it easy for hackers to hack into their site. And I know there's going to be some questions, I'm sure, from users who have hosts who do that sort of thing. What would you tell those users? And like, I'll tell you what the host said in a moment, but what would you, as support team members, tell the users when they say their host has done something like that?
Well, we tell users to update to the latest version as it is. So while most hosts won't take it in their own hands to go ahead and do something as drastic as shutting down a site until users update, it's definitely a good idea. And, of course, the best thing you can do is update, and then you get the host off your back, and you know, and you generally do something that's better for it. It's for your own good. But also you mentioned that RC3, that they said that there were vulnerabilities in that, and of course, well, as far as we know, that's not true. I think since RC, there has only been one issue, which I wouldn't even classify as a vulnerability, in the member list, where someone could, I think, I'm not sure, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something to do with the sorting feature, and there wasn't anything particularly malicious that someone could do. I don't know if anyone remembers what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you had already had to have access to the board as far as permissions. So you already had to have, I think it was administrator.
Moderator permissions, I believe it was.
Was it moderator? Okay. So that attack surface area is greatly lessened in that regard.
Right, so it's limited. So I don't think that's particularly true, that RC3 is particularly vulnerable. I think the only really differences between the RC versions have been bug fixes and feature changes. So not there were some changes for security, but there really were no clear-cut vulnerabilities where someone could exploit a PHP v3RC site. But the hosts, I've dealt with the same thing in the past, and most hosts will just assume that if someone is running outdated software, there's a chance that, you know, it might be vulnerable. And this is especially true for smaller hosts, because larger hosts won't bother checking, but smaller hosts that do monitor their servers will want to make sure that everyone is using the latest version of any software.
Well, basically what I did was I immediately contacted the host directly with the permission of the client, and I took them to task on the security issue. And they wouldn't give me any kind of an answer on that, and they're like, oh, no, you have to open a support ticket. So I did. I opened a support ticket and followed up with their technical support people, and they're like, no, we checked with your software, and it appears to be up to date, so disregard our notice. So I think what happens is anytime they seem to have like an automatic script that runs through some of your software and checks to see if it's up to date, and if it's not up to date, they assume that it's vulnerable to hacking. And then so they tell you need to get your software up to date, which is, that's not a bad thing. I mean, I definitely applaud any host that encourages their users to keep their software updated. But when you go to the extreme of giving them, okay, your software needs to be updated, and they don't have any solid proof that there is any kind of vulnerability. In fact, they don't even have any knowledge that there's even a thought of vulnerability, and yet they gave the client 3 days. The client didn't even respond to an email because they were out of town, and they immediately shut down the forum. And it's like, well, that's kind of ridiculous. There's no basis for that at all. And at that point, you need to look at your host and seriously consider, you know, is this really a host that I need to stick with if they're going to do stuff like that to me?
On the flip side, though, I'm currently with a server provider for my dedicated server. They'll do something similar, not quite that extreme, because I'm responsible for my dedicated server. I have full access. But what they'll do is if they find something like, you run an IRC server, which on the web host I'm with is not allowed as part of their policy. They will give you maybe 36 hours, I don't remember offhand, via phone call and email. And if you don't confirm, after the 36 hours, they start taking actions such as shutting down your account and billing you and whatever else happens. So I think in that regard, it's not necessarily a bad idea, but there's better ways to handle things like that.
Well, certainly, and of course, in this case, there was no basis for the actions that
right.
they took. It was just completely unfounded, and when I took them to task on it, they couldn't back anything up, so it was rather obvious. But I told them, I said, you know, if there's a security issue, you know, post it on the PHPV tracker. Don't just threaten the client. You know, also, you know, you've got to go back to the software and try and report it to them, because we need to know, because if there is a security issue, we will address it, and we will get that solved, you know.
But again, in the case of web hosts, most of them won't actually – they might have not necessarily meant that they know of an existing vulnerability, just that they assume that if the version is outdated, that the software is outdated, then there might be a vulnerability that exists. So.
Right. And well, what the I have the chat log from what they said, and it wasn't, you know, that it might be vulnerable to hacking, or, you know, because your software is outdated, there's a possibility that you are more vulnerable to hacking, so you need to upgrade. No, it was, you have outdated software, and apparently the software that you're using is vulnerable to hackers, where they can easily come in and hack your site because of the software that you're running. So, and they're like, you know, and you need to upgrade to the newer version, which has security updates, which will solve that issue. And it's like, well, they're full of it.
Well, you know that that's wrong, so.
Right, but the clients didn't. Like, I knew what it was, you know, when they contacted me on it, I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of obvious, but the clients don't know. So they're kind of like, oh, no, what's going on? So they get all frightened and stuff like that. But, no, it's not a – sometimes you just have to come back to us and say, what's the deal here, and we'll be able to address those issues.
Yeah. I think we can all agree there's plenty more to say on this topic, but for the sake of our listeners, I think we should move on and save some of the discussion for another episode, perhaps. So shall we move on to the next topic?
Ajax, let's go.
Ajax. Okay, we are not going to go very in-depth for a variety of reasons, including we don't want to bore our listeners. So we're going to talk about Ajax and PHBB 3 and how mod authors as well as style authors can use the two together and how they can't yet. So for those that don't know, perhaps been living under a rock for a while, Ajax is asynchronous, JavaScript, and XML. There's also a couple of new terms.
Say that
three times fast. Sorry, what?
So say that three times fast.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also a few new terms that have come to the town, along with Web 4.0, wherever we are right now. There's also a new term called AJA. Have you guys heard of that before?
I haven't, actually.
Okay. So AJA apparently is asynchronous JavaScript and HTML. And why they make the difference, I don't know, because XML can also be XHTML. Or, you know. But anyway, that's one of the new terms that have come to town. There's also AHA. Have you guys heard of that one?
I think one of my friends in Mississippi says that.
Okay, so apparently AHA, A-H-A-H, is asynchronous HTML and HTTP. And that apparently is applying what you receive back from the AJAX or AJA and making it into the document, whether it's using inner HTML in JavaScript or what have you. It's using the response text from the AJAX call and applying it to the page. And why they have separated that from AJAX, I don't know. But that may be something that mod authors and style authors may want to look into a little bit. And now, go ahead.
Now, Michael, could you just give us a general overview of, I know a lot of people probably don't know what AJAX is, but they've probably used it on a regular basis on websites. Could you just give us a general overview of what AJAX is?
Okay.
Or maybe even some examples of what of some sites that use AJAX, some popular sites that use AJAX that people may be familiar with.
Okay. So AJAX is the use of several technologies. It's the use of JavaScript and what used to be DHTML or dynamic HTML, and that kind of lost its fizz when .com bubble went out. I remember using it one day and then next day. But what was DHTML has come back now, and that's the animation and fuzzy user interface type of thing. There's also CSS that is involved, and of course XML or XHTML that is involved. So it's using those technologies all together and what has become AJAX. To give a couple examples of what AJAX is, there's Facebook, for example, that uses it. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Facebook. It uses in different components. For example, I'm posting messages to people or different things like that. There's also, if you have ever used a site that uses ratings, for example, Amazon.com uses AJAX quite a bit in its rating system for books and CDs and different things that you can buy. If you were to use its rating system to click on a star that uses AJAX so that it isn't quite as apparent that the request is being sent to the server. It's trying to make it a little faster to try over and simplify the explanation.
So is it fair to say then if you can interact with a website without having to hit refresh, you're using AJAX?
I would say for all intents and purposes for this, yes.
And by the way, folks, that was David Rothbun. He had just joined us.
Thanks.
So I guess the question is, how can style authors and mod authors use that technology or group of technologies, in our case, to use in their components for PHBB 3? And the downside is that PHBB 3 right now is not really built for that type of thing. It requires certain functionality on the back end, of course, to communicate with the server, which is part of what you need. And unfortunately, PHBB 3 isn't quite yet built for that type of thing. However, there are a few things that you can do. For example, I built a lovely little logout system for a style author a couple weeks ago, and that has actually been quite popular on their site. And that's one of the things you can use for Ajax. To get a little technical, it actually ignores the response of the Ajax request, so it doesn't care what the back end can or can't do, which is sometimes necessary for Ajax to actually work correctly. But in this case, it's just a simple logout. It calls the logout, and the user logs out with some lovely Ajax requests and user interface changes, and it looks quite nice, actually. And you guys have seen it. What do you guys think of using Ajax in that type environment?
One of the great things, you know, besides the fact that, you know, you can – the abilities to use Ajax aren't really built into PHP 3, but you can easily build them in using mods. And even using the template system for PHP 3, you can use that. And some style authors or some mod authors are like, well, I can only, you know, I need my PHP to really drive the Ajax, and so I need to put them together. But you don't have to. You can just, you can actually use the template engine to drive the Ajax. And it's certainly something that's encouraged, because even then, even using Ajax, you know, Ajax-powered mods, you still cannot embed the PHP with Ajax, which is considered part of the template engine. The JavaScript is considered part of the template engine.
Right.
And you can still use the template engine to power those scripts.
Right, which is what I did in my case for the Sun Author, where I wrote the logout system.
One of the great things that I love about Ajax is, not necessarily from a coding stance, but from the user stance. I'm a big proponent of an advocate for having usable user interfaces, things that are easy to use, things that are easier on the eyes, things like that. I can launch an application on my computer, and I can tell you within 5 minutes whether or not it's a well designed. It's just one of the things that I love doing. And with Ajax, it just helps create a much more smooth of an environment for a user to work in. So it, you know, it pretty syncs up a little bit, makes it a little bit easier to use. For example, with your script, Michael, logging in and out, it really isn't saving the user any time. It's just making their experience better.
Right.
So it's just a cool thing to have that makes your experience better.
Yeah. And some examples of some things that mod authors can use, for example, like a quick reply, an Ajax quick reply, which would be posted to the page without having the page refresh at all, which, of course, saves it saves several steps. First, going to the posting page, submitting the post, going to the confirmation page, and then going back to the page. So instead, it's not reloading the page at all. It's just putting your post into the next slot without loading that page. And that's one example of saving a lot of time, can save bandwidth that way, and it just improves the user experience. And then others are like Ajax chat mods, or a shout box, where it posts a shout or a chat, and other users can see it live, just show up without having to refresh their page, so they can see other users basically talking through your forum using these Ajax chat mods, or that may be reloading topics if there's a new post to it. So while you're reading a topic, you might see a post pop up underneath that wasn't there. So now you're getting to see kind of the live view of the topic. So those are just some examples of some of the things that it can be used for.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the end user has to have JavaScript enabled, which is, I think you're kind of assuming a lot if you assume that all of your users will have JavaScript enabled. A lot of people disable it. So, and it doesn't degrade at all. Ajax doesn't degrade it whatsoever, so you have to.
As long as you make your mods degradable, I mean, because you can still, for example, you can still make it so that the posting engine uses the native posting engine if you don't have JavaScript enabled. So there's still a lot of ways as a mod author you can make it possible to do that. But you still have, I mean, according to my stats, at least 95% of users browsing around the internet have JavaScript enabled. You know, that's very, it can be different based on the site and based on the content of the site or the demographic of users. You could have some who have it enabled and some who don't.
It's definitely a lot more than it used to be. I mean, I remember, you know, 2-3 years ago that using JavaScript on a website was like the the forbidden fruit. I mean, you just didn't do that because a lot of your users would be left out, regardless of whether or not you provided a backup for the users that didn't. It just wasn't something that a lot of web designers and web developers spent time on developing, because most or a majority of users just didn't have JavaScript enabled, or their browsers weren't up to date enough that they were supporting it. But that's one of the great things that the evolving technologies have helped to cause, is that a lot of most people now do have JavaScript. They have browsers that are capable of handling it to the smallest iota, handling it to the best of the standards. So it's slowly coming along into a technology that is becoming standard.
Yeah, it's definitely come a very long way since it was ECMA script, which I don't know if some of you have...
Oh, geez.
Yeah. have experience with that, but ECMA script was definitely new in more ways than one. So, that's... Yeah, you know, there's quite a bit more we can talk about, but there are actually quite a few libraries for those that work in JavaScript that people can use in PHBB3. And I'm not trying to push any one library, but lately I've been working with one called jQuery, as well as one called Yahoo User Interface. And you know, there's tons more: Moo Tools, Scriptaculous, Prototype, and quite a few others that people can use. It doesn't really matter what you use, as long as you make sure that users can use it. It degrades appropriately for each browser. Not all libraries are made the same, of course, and not all browsers will be supported in each library. You know, that's just the way things work. But as long as you make sure that it works and works well, and if it doesn't work, you have a fallback plan.
Just something I wanted to mention. We've been using the word degrades, and if anyone listening doesn't know what that means, basically, if you have JavaScript disabled, for instance, some sites will still show up just fine. It'll have like a contingency plan, so to speak, and it'll still display. It'll be a bit simpler. It won't have all the features, but you'll still be able to use the site.
So a good example of that would be YouTube.
Or Gmail.
Yeah, yep. Seamless integration. Actually, I was fairly impressed with both of those. There is absolutely no loss of functionality whatsoever when JavaScript is disabled.
And one cool thing too, if you go to like Google and you search for AJAX libraries, there's an unending list of libraries that will pop up on your search results of things that you can try out and use. And a lot of different, you know, you can review the features, and it really depends on some of the things that you're trying to use your AJAX for. So you want to review the libraries and see which one is best for the particular task that you're doing. Of course, as always, you want to make it as small as possible while performing the task as well as possible across all browsers. That's really the goal, I think.
Yeah. Another definition there is the library. Anyone who is not involved with any type of program probably doesn't know what that means. The library is basically a pre-made template, so to speak. It's basically a bunch of things that other developers have already coded that you can use as a basis for your script. For example, if a script that posts a message to a forum, someone may have already developed that and may not have been tweaked to be able to be used with PHBBB3 or some other form software, or even sending email or something of that nature. But the base code is there, and you could just tweak it as you need for your particular application or script.
Right, and typically libraries won't make assumptions about your environment. They just provide you a base set of functionality and classes and functions, and make you do the grunt work. Well, I guess that's not quite the right term there. They do all the hard work for you. It's up to you to make it work correctly.
Yep, so that's it on that, I think. We should move on.
Yeah, there's, as usual, there's plenty more that we could talk about. Let's spend quite some time on it, but let's move on.
The next item on the list is the favorite feature. What is everybody's favorite feature of PHBBB3?
All right, since I've been talking, how about you go first, Adam?
Okay. Probably my favorite feature in version 3 is actually the permission system that was implemented. I know back in the betas and even in the before the betas, there was a lot of discussion going on of how the permission system was going to be implemented. Basically, what I mean by that is the way the administrator can set up how a user or a guest is able to view the form, how they're able to use the form, what features they're able to use, what features they're prevented from using, various things like that. So you're able to prevent a certain group of users from seeing a form or posting in a form or allow them to post, see a form or post in a form. The way that version 3 has implemented permissions now is, I think, is beautiful. It gives you full control over virtually everything on the board, what a user can see, cannot see, can access, and various things like that. So I'm just very impressed with the way the developers implemented that. I know a lot of the suggestions have come from the users and things of that nature. A lot of questions were asked to the community about how they'd like to see the permission system implemented, and I know a lot of the questions that the developers were asked were answered, and a lot of suggestions came in. I think it's pretty set for now to say that it's fairly easy to use. It's actually a very large system, so it can be pretty hard to learn, but once you get your hands dirty with it and start playing with it, it's actually very customizable, and you can really set everything.
PHBB3, it's hard to determine what users are going to use in a specific environment, but as far as permissions go, it tries to come up with the best possible permission set, and you can customize down to the most granular level, and it's quite incredible. I know that Yuri and I were looking at the permission system a little bit in depth the other day, and put it simply, we're quite impressed. Still, I mean, after all this time, you know, we're quite impressed at how it works.
Of course, and there was some criticism previously. The biggest criticism is, of course, that it's way too complicated, and some people will, you know, say that they love the simplicity of PHBB2. But something, of course, to consider about that is that how much more complicated it would be for someone to mod PHBB2 to add the permissions that PHBB3 has. So it's complicated because people like changing and like configuring their permissions. So that's why it's complicated. So of course it's a great system.
And just a simple fact that the plethora of features that version 3 has over version 2, it's just to implement the permissions system in the way that version 2 did on the scale of version 3 would be just a nightmare. The new permission system is appropriate based on the number of features that version 3 has.
And, of course, you would be kind of disabling PHBB3 if you gave it such simple permissions like PHBB2. You would have this awesome system, and you would only be able to configure this little chunk of it. And, of course, people wouldn't be happy about that either, I'm sure.
One thing that's nice about the permission system, I know that it, you know, it's very complex and everything that it does, and allowing the administrators to completely configure their permissions down to every little tiny detail. But the other thing that it does is it does provide those permission roles that kind of help get the administrator started. And then you have the basic groups that kind of, you know, it kind of sets an outline. So with not much difficulty, an administrator can set up their board using the permission roles that are supplied by default in PHBB3 to get their board going without extensive knowledge of the permission system. And now let's go to David Rothburn. He's got a feature.
Yeah, I have to admit, and I've posted about this a number of times on the board, that I don't actually have a version 3 board running yet. I have been working with PHBBB2 for more than a few years, and so my boards are a little bit complicated. I have not made plans to upgrade yet, but the one feature out of PHBBB3 that I really, really like as a user, just in my role as a user on the board and as a moderator, is the read tracking. I think that's a fantastic addition. I think that's something that I know the users on my biggest board are really going to be interested in having at such point when I get ready to upgrade. So it's a simple feature. I know the permissions are important. They're a major update, but I think being able to track which topics you've read and be able to leave and come back without missing anything, I think my users are going to be really excited when we do upgrade to have that feature available. So pretty simple, but I think one of the best pieces. Version 2, I'm sure everybody remembers, is once you leave the board, anything you haven't read is marked red. So mm-hmm. I would say it was actually non-existent in version 2. There's, of course, a couple of mods out there. Two of them I've looked at and just have never installed. But at this point, I won't be. I'm slowly working my way towards figuring out how I'm going to get my big board upgraded. So that's coming.
One of the problems that I had as a support team member was that, for example, I would log in during my break when I was at the my local college during in between classes. I would log in to answer some support questions, and I would then log out. I proceed to log out, clear all my cookies and various things like that, obviously, because I don't want to leave that on a public computer. But as soon as I would get home, I would try to pick up right where I left off, and I was unable to do that. Because every time you log in, log out and log in, it completely starts a new session and completely eliminates everything that you've done in your previous session. So yeah. I find that the retracking definitely is a very, very, very nice feature to have.
And David, the other David, Highway of Life, how about you?
My favorite feature, I would have to say, well, I have so many favorites, it's kind of difficult to pick, but I'll just kind of pick one of the day, and that would be, I think, the module system of PHBBB3. Just the ability to the whole modularized aspect of the user control panel, the moderator control panel, the administration control panel, the easy ability it is to add a new module flavor, as I like to call them, a new control panel to your board for a larger mod. You know, you can make a large add-on, and without modifying any of the core code or anything like that. It's and then using the embedded system of PHBB3 to be able to let other mod authors create mods for your module system, and then easily install those and place them where they want them, order them where they want them. You can. Each module has its own permission settings, so you can choose who you want to see what module, and just the scalability of the whole modular system is just what I really, really enjoy.
Now, I took a look at the module system. Perhaps you can answer this for me. How easy is it to add something other than the UCP, ACP, and MCP module components or checks? If I wanted to add something completely different, is that possible for me as a modder?
Are you talking about adding like a new module flavor or adding a module to the one of the three existing control panels?
A completely new one.
Okay, well, a completely new one, basically all you would have to do is replicate what's in like ucp.php or mcp.php. It has some functions that are built in right away that you can see that there's not much to either of those two files, and you can see them right away that it's basically calling some functions that are built into PHBB3 to build your module system. And then I believe there might be an edit in the administration control panel, but I think that would be the only one. I haven't looked in depth on how to create a new one. Okay. I've seen several mod authors do it, and it is very, very easy to do. I mean, you don't have to create a big installation script or anything like that. All you're really doing is adding files. You're creating a new includes directory for your modules to be placed, and an info directory for those modules, which contains the permissions for them, contains mm-hmm. the categories, and just everything like that. And then when the user goes into the administration control panel and they go under that module, which shows up automatically in the module management, and then they can go under there and start installing or enabling and disabling the various modules or moving them around, placing them in different places, or even controlling the language of those modules as well.
Okay, so if I want to create something called XCP, for example, all I do is create a new file, set up my include folders, insert it into the database, and off I go?
pretty much just it. Now, the insertion into the database, that's pretty much automatic because, you know, you don't have to create an installation script to do that. When you go to the module management in the ACP, you just click install on the modules there, and then they'll automatically insert into the database.
Okay. Nice. Very nice.
And then, of course, the language, this is the coolest thing. The language files, first of all, if you place a language file in the slash mods directory in the language folder, and you name it like info_acp_mymod.php, for example, it automatically gets included into the entire administration control panel. So now you no longer have to, let's say you're adding a new module to the administration control panel, and to make the label for the module show up, let's say you need a category label or a subcategory label, and it's not calling your page yet, so it's not going to have the language file that's embedded in your page. And so the only way previously to do that was to use an addlang function in the index.php of the administration control panel, or in the ucp.php of the user control panel, or in the mcp of the moderator control panel. But now you don't have to make that edit anymore. Now you can just include that or put that file in there, and it's included automatically in the entire control panel that you're browsing. Yuri, do you have a feature that you like with PHP BB3?
Of course. We all have our little things, and mine is the BB code system. I think it's great because the developers have totally eliminated the need for HTML, and that was always a common question. Can I use HTML in my posts? And our common answer was, if you want to use HTML, then you should make a web page rather than a post. But now there's no need for HTML. You can just configure your own BB codes, and it eliminates the need for BB code mods, which were always popular, and you can just kind of go wild and do whatever you want. So, yeah, that's
what I love about.
And at the same time, it adds a security layer, because I know a lot of previous HTML codes, one of the reasons that we didn't recommend them was because they could open up security issues. For example, users being able to embed JavaScript files or things of that nature into the post. But the BB code system definitely does add a security layer that you're able to take advantage of some of these features while also keeping your board secure.
Well, you know, about that, actually, there, of course, you can, if you try particularly hard, you can actually introduce a security vulnerability into
system using anything.
And I even saw one in the custom BB codes topic in the 3.0 support forum. So while I have the opportunity, I'm going to just mention the in the custom BB code topic in the 3.0 support forum. There is a user who actually managed to introduce a security issue using the BB code system. And, of course, when you're using the tokens, like text and simple text, you want to use the token that gives the least amount of pull to any user. So if you expect a number, then you should use the number. Don't use the text, because that will allow people to post other things in there. And, you know, if simple text suffices, then you should use that rather than using text. And if you do put in text, you can end up allowing people to, play with that system and do things that you didn't intend for them to do. So it's still possible to introduce. You should be careful. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and post a topic in the support forum and let someone look it over for you to make sure that, you know, you haven't done anything that you didn't intend to.
And I think Albert F. and I, back in beta, it was either beta 2 or beta 3, we tried on a new board some various types of BB codes to see if we could hack into them and what an administrator would need to do to accidentally create a security hole in their BB code. And it was, you know, you have to be really, really be doing something strange to your BB code to put in a hole, a security hole, but it certainly is possible. And we did make it so that we were able to create an artificial login screen based on a BB code.
I smell phishing.
Exactly. That's what it was. That's what it was for. And it was kind of interesting. But again, an administrator would have to be doing something pretty strange and also know exactly what they're doing. So it's not an easy thing to do, to program in a security hole, but it is certainly possible.
The issue that I was talking about uses adds a text, uses the into JavaScript, and it's in a loop. So while it's not a security issue per se, I could use the BB code with some enormous number, like a million, and you know, and everyone who would view that page would have that loop with that thing repeating a million times, which would probably crash their browser. So yeah, just to wrap up, so you can if you try particularly hard, you can turn the BB code feature into a vulnerability, but you do have to try kind of hard.
All right. I've said this before in the past, but I will say it again. I really like that you got beat to posting. I like it because it's really intuitive. If you are going to write a long post and then someone comes along and writes a one-liner, it may sum up everything you had to say and just make your entire post completely void. And
why I don't like it.
You know, it may make you mad, but I think it's great. I think it works really well for what it's intended for. You know, it has where I think it could be improved, you know, but some people may not think that. But I think it's great. You know, sometimes that it can just bring along better discussions if someone post something and then you want to add on to what they said without having to re-edit your post or, you know, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I can't find an excuse now to post anyway, even though someone answered a question, you know. It's just...
Well, actually, you can, because the issue with that feature is it only works if from the time that you started posting. So if you open up a topic and you read through the topic and then you click to post reply, any time the time that went by while you were reading the topic won't count. So I've still managed to post the same thing that someone posted before me.
Right.
I'm curious, the feature that you got beat to posting, is that something that's in other boards or is that something that the devs came up with?
SMF
I've
has
never
it.
Seen it in another board, honestly.
SMF
maybe it exists,
it.
But oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's a lot simpler. It's not like the feature that we have. It's a bit simpler, but the idea is there.
All right. So for a bit of bad news and then good news, I have stepped down as team leader. I'm still going to remain as support team member for now, and. That's due to a variety of issues, but Neothermic has stepped up to team leader, so that should be pretty interesting.
To say the least.
Yes. And now for the good news. David, why don't you explain what we have as far as new members?
All right. Well, you guys got one too this week, but we got two new members. One is Esmond. He's from Ireland. His username on the forums is Pointism, and that's Pointesm. And he's been very active in the mod community for a long time now. So I think it's really great that we have him on. And you know, he's been great challenging everybody, challenging the staff on a lot of our mod documentation and the modx, and really he's gotten his mind wrapped around a lot of the documentation and the modx and everything like that. So he's going to be a very valuable asset. But he'll be helping out, especially with the mod validation, which is great for me because when I joined the team, I was almost the only one doing PHPBB3 validation because Paul and Igor Evilheart were working a lot on the mod database, and so not a lot of their time was spent on PHPBB3 validation, so I kind of felt like I needed a new player in that aspect, and then Paul left, and then I was really alone, but then we got Esmond, and I think he's going to be a great asset for the team. And then we also this week got a Jelly Donut, and you cannot know PHPBB and not know Jelly Donut. I mean, he is the number one poster of phppb.com. I mean, you look in the member list and sort of by post, he's at the top, just clearly at the top. So, I mean, he's helped a lot of users been around. I'm sure everybody has interacted with him in one way or another. Just a great amount of knowledge and history in PHPBB, and he'll be helping out on some of our coding projects, so he'll be a great asset as well. And you guys got one this week.
We did.
14.
Cyber 23, yeah.
That's been a long time coming as well, in my opinion. He's been active on the forums for a good while now, always providing good, accurate, friendly support. He's definitely going to make a great asset to the support team, because as version 3 is going to be coming out and is on our front doorstep here, the number of support requests is going to obviously is going to shoot up to a new level that we haven't seen before. So definitely all the support we can get at this point in time is a good asset, and I know Cyborg will be able to fill that role very nicely.
And then, as usual, that little housekeeping that we have, please leave your feedback in the topic and on the podcast site at podcast.phpbb.com. And the email address that we mentioned earlier has not been set up yet, unfortunately, and I know that we need to set that up, but we're waiting on somebody to set that up, so it's not my fault. Yeah.
A few people are going to get slapped over that. So,
yes.
But as
yes.
always, you can leave a comment on the blog post on podcast.phpbb.com, or you can also post in the topic, the discussion topic located on the PHPBB3 discussions forums, and you know, give us your suggestions, topics that you think we should talk about. Give us your feedback, what you think of the show. Who you would like to be on the show, and we'll see if we can get them on. But that's really important to us. If you hear the top, if you hear the podcast, you really like it, give us your feedback on it. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, right now this podcast hinges on your support. So if you like it, let us know. Otherwise, this podcast may go the way of the dodo. So please let us know if you like it.
Don't be thinking like that. You know, you got to think positive.
And not just if you like it, ask questions. That way we actually have something to discuss.
Yes,
ask questions,
please.
And, you know, yeah.
And we've had pretty good response so far, I think, for the first episode. We approached, what, about 3,000 downloads?
Roughly, yeah.
So, yeah.
That
so
alone's a pretty good feedback number.
How many of those downloads were repeats, I don't know, but it's a rough figure. So we've had a lot of response so far, and I've been pleased with it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it take off and seeing it become more popular, getting more users involved, asking questions, being able to answer those questions, like I said, I'm really excited to and looking forward to it. Thanks, and we'll see you next time. This is Adam Ryer from the support team.
This is Michael Cottingham from the support team.
This is Yuri Rusko from the support team.
This is David Lewis, Highway of Life, from the modifications team.
This is David Rathbun, known as D. Rathbun on the board, member of the moderator team.
And we'll see you next
time.
Whoa, where'd you come from?
I'd be like, hey, I recognize that voice. That sounds like...
Jiminy Crickets, you scared me.
Well, when Michael was talking, it sounded like someone was blowing into their mic like that, so.
Like Darth Vader?